This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Good afternoon and welcome into WEEI just after 4 o'clock here on this beautiful Saturday, July the 19th, 2025. Dan Ball and Justin Turpin with you here on EEI, Boston Sports Original. Hello to those listening here on 93.7, as well as those listening in the Cape, Providence, Rhode Island, Springfield, Worcester, Portland, Maine, Keene, New Hampshire, Claremont, New Hampshire, and White River Junction, Vermont. Terp, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Great. I get to spend this beautiful afternoon with you. This is awesome.
It's great to have you here. I'm glad we get the chance to finally do a full show. We've had like a segment or two where we've talked Celtics, and I've, you know, tried to tread water as much as possible while you're getting into the X and O's. But we're with you here 4 until 6:15 this afternoon, taking you up until Red Sox baseball game 2 of the series against the Chicago Cubs. It's a Bayo day for the Red Sox, coming off of a loss right after the All-Star break. So the guys on baseball. Ball isn't boring, did some fantastic baseball work. So we're starting because Terp covers the Boston Celtics here for WEEI, one of, I don't know, 7 or 8 resume items that you're given. We're starting with the Boston Celtics, and of course you can join the conversation at any point at 617-779-7937. Starting with the Boston Celtics and comments that certainly perked the ears up of Boston Celtics fans from Jaylen Brown earlier on this week, who you described, Terp, as a very polarizing figure, which isn't new, but possibly taking the mantle from noted polarizing Red Sox Rafael Devers. Is Jaylen Brown the most polarizing athlete in Boston right now?
I think he is.
Yeah.
And the Rafael Devers thing was rather recent as well. So,
yeah.
I think it's been Jaylen for a little bit now. I think Mac Jones was obviously one as well, but I don't think anyone's really come close to Jaylen Brown. I mean, he was booed on draft night, and maybe it wasn't him necessarily. It was they didn't really know about Jaylen Brown. He played in the Pac-12. He played for California. He only played 1 year. Like, people didn't really know. So, yeah, he's been booed since then. He's always in these trade rumors. Even now, it's like he finally gets a chance to be the guy, and it's kind of like, oh, they might be a play-in team. So, yeah, I think he is the most polarizing man in Boston sports.
So before we get into the comments that he shared with Noah Dalzell in her story a couple days ago, I mean, this is essentially the comments that we heard is him, I would assume, responding to the noise that he's hearing, because it is kind of fascinating, and I can sympathize with him in a certain sense, because this is supposed to be the year where he gets to display what, in his own words, he hasn't really had the opportunity to do. He hasn't been able to be the number one, save for, you know, a handful of games when Jason Tatum hasn't been available. So let's set the baseline from you covering this team and knowing what he is capable of, both with and without his running mate. What are your expectations for what a Jaylen Brown-led Boston Celtics team is capable of?
I go back and forth on this all the time, because it's not the front that I'm looking at. It's not the top part of this team that I'm looking at. The Jaylen Browns, the Derek Whites, the Peyton Pritchards. Those guys are established.
Yeah.
It's what you're looking at in the front court specifically. Like, you can't enter the year with the front court that you have right now in Luka Garza, Nemeja Kedah, and Xavier Tillman, who's not even a center. He's really a four. Like, you can put him at the five, I guess, but he's not a center. It's like you're going into the year with two centers who are very, very kind of a lot to be desired. Like, you don't really know what
they can
do. It's
not a great group. It's just not a, I mean, they're serviceable players in their own right, but given the role that they're filling in, also the players that they're filling in for, leaves a lot to be desired.
I probably should have looked at this before, but if you took their career total minutes and added them together, maybe even multiplied them by two, it might not even reach what Horford or Porzingis have played. And Porzingis, we know how much time that guy's missed. It's just like these guys haven't had a ton of opportunity. And you're going from all these championship expectations and all this. And I think part of this is obviously the second apron. I think people understand that for the most part.
Yeah.
That, you know, this team, their changes were inevitable. It was going to happen. Like, that was the reality. Whether they won the title again or not, I think, you know, maybe you could have made the argument then that a new ownership group wasn't going to come in and start tearing off pieces. It might have been smaller moves. It wouldn't have been what we saw. But Brad Stevens has been very open throughout this whole entire process that this was going to happen regardless of what went down. Like, this was going to happen regardless if Tatum got hurt, whatever. So I think part of it was that. But you're entering the year now with really no expectations. So it is kind of hard to set the bar here because you have established players. Like Jaylen Brown, he's a max player. He's a $300 million player. He's a finals MVP. Derek White, I mean, that guy, the push for all-star conversations and candidacies for him. And same thing with Peyton Pritchard. I mean, how many times have we heard, what can Peyton Pritchard do in an expanded role? Can he be an all-star? Like, we're finally going to be able to see that. So as excited as I am to see Jaylen as the true number one, and in a way, not in the circumstances that it happened, he's been waiting for this.
Yeah.
He's been waiting for this opportunity. I'm excited to see that, but I'm also just excited to see what Derek White can do in an elevated role. Peyton Pritchard, Anthony Simons, what can he do? Even Luka Garza. I mean, I don't know how much of a per 36 minute guy you are. Like, essentially, it's just rounding up the numbers. Like, what would it be if you were playing 36 minutes? Oh, man, he's a beast in those numbers. But, like, what can he actually do when push comes to shove? So it's going to be interesting because we've seen teams like this go on a run. Even in Boston, right? Look at the Isaiah Thomas years. And these teams have better players than that. So it's tough to set it because when you say retool, and that's the word that Brad Stevens keeps talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Retool.
Because this
retool.
Isn't a full rebuild. I mean, that implies you blew it up to then rebuild.
But what is a retool? It's a mini rebuild.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
I don't know, though. I feel like there's a differentiation between a rebuild to me says, like, all right, your window with your current roster has completely slammed shut. We need to completely start this. We need to build this thing around a different centerpiece or different centerpieces. Where, to me, retool is more of a tactful term to me.
Right.
Where, and I think that's why it perfectly fits what the Celtics are doing, because you still have your core three, essentially. Your Tatum, your Brown, and your White. Your core three are still there, but we need to tinker around the edges. We need to be more financially responsible. And you know, I think the days of to your point about the CBA and the thresholds and second apron and all that kind of stuff, it seems to me, at least from an outside observer in the NBA, the days of what the Celtics built, that championship team, and then this past year, those days are kind of over. And it seems like the Celtics brass and Brad Stevens kind of knows that, where you're not going to be able to just accumulate elite veteran talent. You're going to have to value these young guys on these cost control, the first and then that first extension that they get in order to have a chance to compete.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, you won't be able to do it long term.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to dip in. Like, teams are going to dip in and out of the second apron for years to come now.
Right.
That's just what you're going to be looking at. But, yeah, I mean, developing – it's always important to develop homegrown talent and have guys that you kind of build up at a young age. But now it becomes even more important because you need those guys on those cost-controlled contracts, like you said, because that allows you to go out and spend bigger.
Right.
When you have players that are on cheaper deals that aren't kind of contributing as much to the salary cap, that you can go out and grab more guys and, you know, more expensive players. So yeah, I mean, definitely, like, they're gonna dip back in eventually. Like, you have to, as long as you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the same team and healthy, this is a contending team. Like, that's just the reality of it. Like, those guys have proven this year after year that, like, if they are on the floor together, they can, you're gonna have a chance. You're gonna have a chance to compete. So yeah, I mean, teams are gonna dip in and out. So it's just a matter of when's that next spending spree. And now this year, it's like, what do you have for the future? Like, guys like Luka Garza, guys like Namish Keita, like, all right, well, they're gonna have an opportunity now. What can they be?
All right, I derailed you from where we were going, but I wanted to set the baseline for what you expect from this team and what specifically you expect for Jaylen Brown, because this is what he said, and I moved his last quote up to the top. I feel like I'm very talented. I'm one of the talented people in this league on this planet. I feel like I'm looking forward to showing the world more. So that was the right at the tail end of the story with the comments that he shared. So that is the very outward proclamation of, hey, I know that I've, in my own mind, I've been held back. I have more than I can offer as a true number one in this league, but I've been, I've kind of taken my lumps and I've stayed along with this group because they have a chance to win. Whatever. There's a lot of implications, and to the point about him being polarizing, I really wish he hadn't said this. I really wish that he had kept these thoughts to himself, because there are a lot of expectations on him this year, no doubt. There are also tempered expectations on what the Celtics are going to be, just compared to what they had been the last 2 years. For him being a first-time number one with the Celtics in this league, I just wish that he wasn't setting the precedent out there of, well, I've been waiting for this my entire career, and I'm obviously going to step up and do more. You guys have been doubting me. This team has been you know, undervaluing me and underusing me. These are not the comments I wanted to read this offseason, because I just think the site is already trained on Jaylen Brown, and I think this exacerbates the issue.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do himself any favors
right?
I think everyone knows how he feels. And
yeah,
I think it is kind of a divided fan base in that sense, where he is very celebrated here and respected in Boston. I think he's earned that. I mean, what he's done across his, now going into year 10 here, what he's done across now a decade in Boston has been outstanding. And
yeah,
I think a lot of people do appreciate that, but he's always kind of been that second fiddle, and I don't think he views himself as that, which is part of the problem. And I think also, I mean, they've been pitted against each other in a way. It's always like, oh, Jason versus Jaylen. It was really, it took a while for people to really be like, okay, you know, it's just them two together. And I think that's also part of the issue. But yeah, I mean, he kind of said the quiet part out loud. I think that's the issue here, is like, he didn't have to say it. Everyone kind of knew how he felt about it already. And then he goes out and says it. It just doesn't really do himself any favors going in, because people knew how he felt. He's very open about that. And I also will say, though, every time he really gets the chance to like express his appreciation towards Boston, all that, he does.
Sure.
And he's very open about, as much as he might not be, it might not be a perfect situation, he's very happy here and is like content with playing for this franchise. And I think Celtic City really painted the picture there.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know how much of it you watch, but it's like, there's clearly a sense of pride in playing for this organization that he feels. And I think that was very well depicted in the series. And beyond that, though, it's like every one of his press conferences, like, he has an opportunity, he expresses his gratitude for the city.
He goes on to say, it's been a long journey here in Boston. I've had to deal with a lot. I feel like I haven't been able to be myself in certain capacities because of the politics, and because many people feel uncomfortable with who I am. I disagree with a lot of things. I've had to change roles, styles. I've had to do things that other players of my talent just haven't had to do. And I've been okay with them because I've always been a team guy. I feel like sometimes that's been taken for granted, which is kind of your point, as much as maybe he's been uncomfortable with the fact that he has had to play second fiddle and isn't the one with the ball in his hands taking the final shot. He's done it. They've been very successful because of that. And again, it's interesting timing to be putting the narrative out there. It raises the stakes. And I mean, he hasn't done anything in his career to say that he's not going to be able to live up to it. But it's just interesting timing. That's
how does a guy like Drew Holiday feel, like, hearing those comments? Like, a guy like of your caliber hasn't been asked to do that? Drew Holiday went from being a second guy on a championship team to being a fifth and even a sixth on some nights on a championship team. Like, I think the whole team really embodied sacrifice. And they're professional athletes. They're basketball players. Everyone wants to score, and everyone, you know, wants to put up the most shots they can. They want to be, like, the focal point. And I think the team, obviously, it worked out. Like, they all put the personal strives aside, whatever it may be, and they focused on a championship, and it worked out. But I think everyone kind of felt that way. But, like, going public, like, Drew Holiday is, like, you were a number two on a championship team, and now you're a five. Like, your production was essentially cut in half. And, you know, you're seeing that. I mean, I just can't imagine how he'd feel about it.
Does a Celtics team with Drew Holiday, with Jaylen Brown as your number one, with no Jason Tatum leading the way for most of the year? We'll see what happens if he's able to follow the Kobe plan and be back in 9 months versus 12. Maybe that changes things. Does it change the way the Celtics play when it's Jaylen Brown as your number one? Do you foresee any changes either in the pace? Maybe not necessarily the amount of threes, because I think that's kind of baked into the Missoula ball pie. But does it change anything for you with him as your number one?
Without a doubt. They're going to play faster.
Okay.
I mean, I think the style of play is really not going to change. And we we've dove into the numbers before. It's like the shots, the threes, all of that. None of it really changes, right?
Yeah.
It's how fast they play. And I think Brad Stevens was also pretty open about this on draft night, and that plays into them selecting Hugo Gonzalez. Like, there's going to be more cutting. There's going to be off-ball movement that we really haven't seen from this team in the past. Like, yeah, they do run some off-ball movement, but not enough. And Brad Stevens, I thought this was a really telling quote on draft night, would mention the Thunder and the Pacers and really mentioned how those two teams in the NBA Finals were really moved a ton without the ball. They did a ton of cutting and stuff, and the Celtics kind of got away from that. So I think there's going to be more off-ball movement, and I think they're also going to play faster. I mean, Jaylen Brown's one of the best players in the league in transition, whereas Jason Tatum kind of contradicts that style a little bit, where he's a lot more, he's going to wear you down with his skill,
yeah,
and not necessarily his speed. And he can play fast, but he doesn't really like that method. Like, they kind of contradict each other in that sense. But they're going to play fast this year, and it's going to be fun to watch because, again, Jaylen's one of the best players in transition. Then you got guys like Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, who can also run up and down the floor. Anthony Simons as well. So, yeah, they're going to be, I would imagine, one of the faster teams in the league this year.
But something that you've explained to Andy Hart, which makes me laugh when you guys go back and forth on this topic, is the defense. And I think that's where what you mentioned a few moments ago about the fact that this team just really doesn't have any rim protectors worth
right.
their salt. They have plenty of good athletes and plenty of guys who are going to be able to pressure the ball along the perimeter, but if you get the ball inside on the Boston Celtics, as currently constructed, it does seem like an area where they're gonna struggle to limit teams.
For sure. I mean, that's their biggest issue right now, is like when you're looking at the defense, well, you're going to have smaller guards on the floor anyway. I mean, if Anthony Simons sticks around, that's been the biggest knock on him throughout his career, is he's not a great defender. Peyton Pritchard, I think, you know, he's a decent defender, but he's always going to have his limitations because of his size.
Sure.
Jaylen Brown and Derek White are also, they're great defenders, obviously. Guys got all defensive team votes a couple years now. So, yeah, those guys will be fine, but it's like, what are you going to do with your front court? Like, Namish Keita has had some issues with, you know, being beaten by, being too slow-footed, getting beaten by that way. Luka Garza, we just really haven't seen a ton of him. So, yeah, there's going to be some issues with that. And, I mean, you go from Al Horford, if you look at, there's numbers to back this up. If you look at, like, their tracking numbers from last year in the post season, he was arguably their best defender last
yeah.
year, and he was a rare breed of center, especially now, even at his age. He's 39. Like, he's able to guard 1 through 5, and you don't have a big like that anymore. And for the last 2 years, the Celtics have been extremely fortunate to not have any defensive holes in their lineup, and now that's just not the reality.
Right. So the numbers that both of these guys played, so Porzingis in the 42 games that he played and started, 28.8 minutes per game, and then 27.7. I mean, is the expectation you're given 28 minutes a night to Keita, you're given 28 minutes a night to Garza, or, you know, split it and give a couple extra Tillman, and that is how they're going to split it, and you hope that with more of a sample size, your per 36 numbers for Garza are a little bit more true? That's what we're rolling with right now.
You would imagine something's coming down the pipeline here.
It has
you
to, right?
Enter the year with two true centers. Again, like, Xavier Tillman can do it, but he's not a five. He doesn't have the size for it. Like,
yeah.
He's more of a four. He's more, I think, like, more of a wing in a way, like, more than he is a center. So, yeah, I mean, you have to do something. That's why Charles Bassey was an interesting development in summer league, and, you know, his contract expired. And that doesn't mean anything that he can't get a training camp invite come October, September. But, yeah, he was let go. He didn't finish the final two games of summer league. So that was an interesting development for them because they need another big. Like,
right.
I'd be shocked if they enter the year with just these two guys. And I'm not saying it's going to be a splashy move, but they need to do something. And they're still a little bit over the second apron. It's less than a half a million. It's only like 300,000 over the second apron. So they're going to have to make a move. And you would be able, if it's as simple as waving a guy like JD Davidson, who
sure.
they picked up his option. And you can go out and offer a minimum to some big that's still out there. But I just can't see a world where you enter the year with just two starting centers or two centers in general. It just, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Is Anthony Simons a guy that could still be flipped theoretically? Because I know that at least from a financial perspective, I'd be curious to see what he could do picking up some of the volume shooting slack that you're losing with Jason Tatum. But I know the defensive metrics are pretty bad, and on a bad team. So you put him in a situation where you're asked more. Maybe there's more that he can do, but it seems like the ceiling is only so high. Is he a guy that makes the opening night roster for you?
I think so, at least in the opening night roster. I
yeah.
think he's eventually going to be flipped, if I had to guess. And maybe they do just let his contract expire and then have the $26 million or whatever it is come off the books next year. But to me, it seems like they've been actively shopping him and they haven't had any biters. Like, he's going to have plenty of opportunity in this offense and maybe even this defense. Like, I think that's something that's been, and he's definitely benefited from having really talented defenders on the roster. But one of the most underrated things Joe Mazzulla has done with this team is flipping around the defense and really kind of picking up where Ime left off. And they've really hunkered down on that after Joe's first year. But they've still finished second, and fourth in defensive rating in the 3 years that Mazzulla's been here. So it's been a strong suit for them. And we'll see what happens now. Again, we were just talking about it. They don't have any rim protectors. They don't have a front court right now. So we'll see what actually happens. But maybe he could benefit from being in Mazzulla's system and playing with guys like Derek White and Jaylen Brown if you're Anthony Simons. And offensively, like, you're missing, with Jason Tatum out, you're missing about like a quarter of your shots, a quarter of your points, a quarter of your assists, a quarter of your rebounds. Like, you have all this ground to make up. Anthony Simons is going to play a key role in that. So if they've been shopping him now and there hasn't been a deal worth taking, wait until the trade deadline. First of all, see where you're at. If you know, if you're overachieving and you're playing well, hold on to him and see if you can make a little bit of a run, make a push. Maybe Jason Tatum's progressing well. And it's like, hey, we could add this guy later on in the season. Let's keep going. Like, then you hold on to him. If not, hopefully by then he's had plenty of opportunity in the system, is really kind of improving. And then at the deadline, people are more willing to get aggressive like that. Like, if you're an Anthony Simons away, a guy that can come off the bench and just score points. I mean, he's been a 20-point-per-game scorer the last 3 years. Like, that's a guy that's going to have some value at the deadline. So, yeah, I'd say enter the year with him, see what happens, let him get a bunch of opportunity, and then if you're achieving, great, keep him. If not, sell him off and gain more assets, because that's been the theme of the offseason this year.
Get future assets. It's pretty intriguing, too, to think that even if you say you are selling him off at the deadline, You could be, not necessarily that it's going to have the same level of success, but at least from a shot attempts perspective, you could almost flip that production one for one if Tatum is on that 9 to 10 month window that you're kind of hoping that he could be. So you replace that in your offense directly, and maybe that's when you get your asset for 26-27, because they've been pretty honest about the fact that, 26-27 is the year. That's the year that they go in from going heavy on free agency, because they'll have that financial flexibility.
They'll be well under the second apron.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So then you'll have the spending. You unfreeze your draft assets in the 20-30 range, when all this doesn't end up mattering. But so many different notes going on with the Boston Celtics right now. 617-779-7937. Two-pronged question. How do you feel about the Boston Celtics as currently constructed? And what's your opinion on Jaylen Brown as he gets ready to have his first season as a member of the Celtics as the true number one, and continues to lay the groundwork for needing to have a big year, but he certainly expects that of himself. One guy that won't be joining the Boston Celtics next season is Damian Lillard. We dissect why that's the case after Tom Crisafulli gets you caught up on with.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Walk off, baby! This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's trending. Well, in Tom's pursuit of bangers, as rejoins here, Ball Interpret with you here on WEEI. He nailed that one. That's for damn sure. 617-779-7937 is the phone number, talking Boston Celtics with Justin Turpin, who covers the Boston Celtics amidst a number of other roles here for WEEI. So more Patriots stuff on the horizon, which I'm fired up about. We got training camp starting in less than a week. The rookies reported today, so Patriots season is fully getting underway. So we'll get more into that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Again, Red Sox baseball at 6:15. That's the pregame show with our guy Joe Weil. We'll have Joe in at the top of the 6 o'clock hour just to get you set for the million and one different storylines that are going on with the Boston Celtics. One gentleman who we teed up right before the break who is not a member of the Boston Celtics, despite some rumors and some pretty significant connections, is that of Damian Lillard. He returns to the Portland Trailblazers, 3 years, just over $40 million in total, making a boatload of money between the contract he's no longer on and the contract he is on with the Portland Trailblazers. So your initial reaction to seeing the deal and the team for Dame?
The deal was shocking. I think a lot of people and a lot of teams, as it was reported, offered him a mid-level to a minimum because he has all this money still coming from Milwaukee. So yeah, the deal was surprising in itself. The team was also a little bit surprising because it felt like it was over in Portland. And I guess it should have been looked at more as a possibility. I think a lot of people were like, oh, he wants to go to a contender, have a chance to win. Because what does Damian Lillard have left to accomplish in his NBA career? That's a championship.
Right. Win
that's
a title. That is legitimately it, right?
He's accomplished everything else.
Yeah.
So he's one of the most accomplished players, at least of the decade. Like, he's accomplished a lot of things in the NBA. The one thing he hasn't accomplished is winning a championship. So it really felt like, you know, that's what he wanted to do. And that's why it made some sense for him to entertain Boston. And those two did talk, and there were conversations had between those two teams, or Damian Lillard and the Celtics. And it would have made sense. It would have been a cool story. And I think it would have been a good fit. I mean, I'm still going to stand by that. I mean, I was kind of beating that drum over the last couple of weeks. Like, it would have made a lot of sense for the Celtics. I mean, for Damian Lillard as well, like, you're an older player coming off a torn Achilles, and a lot of his game is around his acceleration and his burst and his athleticism. Things that, as you get older, fade away, and after you come off a ruptured Achilles, also tend to fade away a little bit. So he would have been like the fourth option here behind Jason, Jalen, and Derek. So
still getting starters minutes, though, just in your estimation.
Yeah, I think he would have.
Okay.
I think he would have, assuming he was fully healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, you would have had a backcourt of Derek White and Damian Lillard, and then you would have Jason, Jalen, and then whatever you're going to do with
the trade candidate here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but you'll still have would have still had plenty of money because it would have been only a minimum or a mid-level,
right,
as it seems. So, yeah, I mean, the terms of the deal were interesting because, again, he has all that money coming from Milwaukee, but it should have been looked at as more of a possibility. And we were just reading back on the quotes that he had when he got traded to Milwaukee originally, just talking about how lonely he was and how perfect the situation was there for him in Portland because his family all lived there, and he was able to see them after games, go out when they had an off day, whatever, and that wasn't the case in Milwaukee. And maybe he realized, it's like, all right, you know what, I already tried this once, going for a ring, it didn't work, it actually flamed out terribly, I think more terrible than anyone could have imagined. So I think maybe he looked at it as like, all right, I already tried this, I know I didn't like this,
right,
and maybe I do want to try for a championship. Of course I want to try for a championship, and that's probably why he was thinking about it. But he's also like, oh, you know what, I want to go home. Like, that's where I was the most comfortable, that's where I was the best in my career, playing with my family and my friends right there. It made a lot more sense when you actually sit down and think about it.
On that topic, Shams Charania, who was on SportsCenter, who was, you know, the new Woj for ESPN, he spoke at length about this because it was pretty shocking to see the names that he was connected to, the very clear glaring hole on his resume, and then what ended up happening with this actual contract. But he talked a little bit on ESPN about this. Here's what he said.
Ryan, being home in Portland, being back with his three kids was by far the biggest, most important factor in Damian Lillard deciding to return and re-sign with the Trailblazers. He was going to spend the year rehabbing his Achilles tear in the Portland area. Anyways, so returning to the Blazers franchise, even though he requested a trade just 2 years ago, was something he deeply cared about. And Boston, Minnesota, dozens of other teams had minimum and mid-level exception offers out to Damian Lillard in the last several weeks. But I'm told Lillard, as well as Joe Cronin, the Blazers GM, head coach Chauncey Billups, they all met at Damian Lillard's home in recent weeks and figured out how they were going to bond and reunite and move forward on a deal.
So the quotes that you're talking about from Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated, just my whole life was set up perfectly right there. It was a great situation. It's definitely lonely because I'm such a family guy. My life is my family. After games, I would come home. My whole family would be back there. My kids coming out of the playroom. My mom, my brother, my cousins live there. You know what I mean? My best friends live in Portland, so I would come out. We would go to dinner. They might come back to my house. After practice, I might go to my mom's house and just chill. That's how my life was. So, I mean, I'm fine because I'm grown. But it's definitely lonely. I'm filled up by those people. This is the damning one. Bro, go to practice, go home, watch boxing, play video games. Man, I type in parentheses, boxing website, fight hype on YouTube 100 times and be praying for something new to be on there. Seriously, I don't have much of a life, but that's what comes with making a big boy decision. You got to be down for that and figure it out. So your point that you were making when we were chatting about this before the show is, maybe we shouldn't have been all that surprised with the return back to Portland, given the fact that he has been very, very open and honest about the fact that he was miserable not being in Portland for the last couple years.
And those quotes are from a year and a half ago.
Right.
Really recent in the grand scheme of things. Like, yeah. This is how he felt.
That's right off the
when
bat.
When you're just feeling that miserable, do you really want to go back? And granted, I mean, I'd imagine the performance of that team, obviously, and they got their head coach fired, who's, 30 games over 500?
Yeah.
Halfway through the year, his first year as a head coach, they got him fired, Adrian Griffin. Like, it's actually funny if you go back and look at, like, all-time winning percentages by head coaches. It's like Adrian Griffin's number three or whatever. The guy coached, 50 games.
Not good enough, though.
They ran him out of town.
Yeah,
just probably, that situation itself was miserable.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be like that in Boston if he were to come. Like, you'd imagine, like I was saying earlier, any team that has Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on it is going to contend. Like, you'd imagine that this team would have more success than the one he had in Milwaukee. But it's just, that loneliness as well. Like, that's beyond the situation on the court. Like, that's being away from your family. You said it right there. Those people fill me up. And those people are halfway across the country if you come to Boston. Like, you really can't get much further.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I mean, maybe it should have just been viewed as more of a possibility. Again, because it's just, what more does he have to accomplish? I think that's what everyone resorted back to.
And to just kind of hammer home just how important this family and loneliness thing must be to him, and how impactful this was, this decision is going to be what Dame Lillard's legacy ends up being, because he didn't go and chase the, well, I guess he kind of did end up getting the money, but so he chased the money, he chased the stability, which is perfectly fine. But he's gonna be remembered for not going after and trying to be a hired gun and win a championship. And I'm not criticizing.
Yeah.
That's his decision. But in my mind, I'm gonna look at Dame Lillard when I look at his career as a whole. I'm gonna look at him being incredible scorer, incredible player, shot maker, clutch Dame time, clutch shooter, everything like that. I'm gonna remember him as that, who also had the chance to sign with a contender and chose to go back home. And that's his prerogative, but I'm going to attach this to his legacy when all is said and done.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Milwaukee thing was him strictly going out. Like, he requested a trade out of Portland. And
right.
Granted, he wanted to go to Miami, which, quick sidebar on that.
Yeah.
Look at how far Miami has fallen. No players want to go there anymore.
Yeah.
It just didn't work because that was a trade with Damian Lillard. But, he wanted to go to Miami, and I don't know what that was, to compete or whatever he wanted to do there. So, he wanted to go there, but, I think him going to Milwaukee was to be a contender.
Okay.
And then the Celtics were what they were. And it's just will always be funny that the collateral damage of that was Drew Holiday going to Boston.
Yeah.
And being one of the key pieces of a championship team. And Milwaukee's just man, what did we do with this guy?
Right.
They had to have known that there was a chance he was going to get rerouted to Boston. They had to have known that. And it's just the way it played out. What a disaster that was. I mean, just a couple of the recent teams in NBA, Brooklyn, when they had James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie,
that
team. Phoenix, another Kevin Durant team with Bradley Beal and Devin Booker.
Yep.
I mean, this team, Milwaukee, you just keep Philadelphia, maybe Paul George, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey,
failed
super teams. Like, you look all around the league and it just didn't work. And like, that should be like, wow, the Celtics got it done with so much talent. Like, and they did have a lot of talent, but the talent always doesn't work. It always doesn't mesh. And like, I feel like that should make it a little bit more sweeter. And that team, that Celtics team, was so easy to root for because it was all guys putting the personal stuff aside, and they just went and were one of the most dominant teams in NBA history. I mean, they were top five in point differential, and I crunched the numbers after the Knicks series loss this year. Like, they were like 101 games over 500 when you look at their regular and postseason records. Just like crazy numbers that are just like ridiculous to look back on. Like, they had the most 50-point wins, 30-point wins, and 25-point wins in NBA history in a course of like 1 year. Like, that team was just so good. And it just makes you appreciate it even more when you're talking about that team like Milwaukee, who was supposed to challenge them and couldn't even hold a candle to them. And guys like Phoenix and all these other teams that just flopped. It makes you appreciate it a little bit more.
It certainly does, because to your point, I mean, there have been a number of different franchises that have tried that super team model. And every once every couple of years, you'll see one work. You'll see, you know, the LeBron Miami Heat. You'll see the KD and Steph Golden State Warriors. You'll see the current era, or now just past era, Boston Celtics. But for every one of mid generation, smaller generation, there are four or five
that just don't work,
that just blow up. Being it, so I came to Boston from New York. So we covered more of the Knicks, but we covered a bit of the Brooklyn Nets. From 2021 to 2024 is when I was there.
Yeah.
It was awesome to watch all. I mean, your show, your whole basketball segment or hour was prepped out every single day by Kyrie and his stuff on the court and off the court and on Twitter. And James Harden. And when right after the trade happened, when they had the All-Star game draft and Kevin Durant had the chance to pick him and he didn't. And then you see LeBron like dying laughing when Charles Barkley is poking the bear. Like, something about, because the NBA is, though it's a team game, it's also super, you know, personality driven and a bit individualistic in the fact that you have your superstars on those teams.
No doubt.
When it goes right, it's beautiful. When it goes wrong, it is like watching a car crash. You rubberneck. You watch it because it just seems to be spectacular when they fail.
There's just so many current, like, examples.
Yeah.
Again, like, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Milwaukee, all these teams just tried to do it and it didn't work. So maybe that's part of Dame's decision. It's like, do I really want to do this again?
Yeah.
Like, do I really want to try this again?
Yeah.
Like, look at how much it doesn't work. And maybe he does look at Boston like, oh, they made it work with these guys. And like, they sure had a lot of fun. It was a really easy team to root for because they're all good dudes that were focused on one goal.
Right.
But do I really want to do this again? Because you look around the league, it's like, oh, it didn't work there. It didn't work there.
Yeah.
Like, I just think like, he was very open. I mean, granted, these quotes were from a year and a half ago, which, again, was pretty recent. But, like, he was very open that it was a family-motivated thing, and that's what Shams is reporting as well. So I just think people were overlooking that aspect of it, and it's like he was just chasing the legacy. And it's like that mental burden. It's like, I just did this, and it was so miserable. I don't even want to try it again. Like, I just want to go back home. And that's, you know, that is kind of a storybook ending for him.
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't get the championship, and that'll always be kind of held against him, in terms of his legacy, I mean, he's one of the best players of this generation. Like, he's a certain Hall of Famer. Like, when you're talking about his legacy, though, I think that will be held against him. But it's also, you know, it's a cool ending for him. It's a pretty cool ending to go home where you were just so good. You really helped put that franchise, make it more relevant. Like, you did a great job with that. Like, go home and enjoy that. I think that's pretty cool.
I can't in the slightest criticize him for it. It's just going to be an interesting footnote. And what has been an incredibly, you know, talented career star at as many all-star games all-star game MVPs and all the things that he has been able to do. It's a fascinating setup, though. In 2026-27, you have one more year of Drew Holiday. I believe you have Jeremy Grant for another year. Like, you're going to have a lot of – they'll have $115 million committed to the books before you count the money that they're paying out to Dame right now. So maybe they – I don't know. Maybe they try to build something around him.
Yeah, and
in addition to him.
The 774 text brings up a point. The Celtics were homegrown, though, mostly. Yeah, they were. Like, Jason Tatum, obviously, Jalen Brown, Sam Hauser, Luke Kornet, Peyton Pritchard. But, like, the guys that got them over the hump were Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. And we've seen iterations of the Celtics. And granted, this was before Jason and Jalen really became Jason and Jalen. And it's kind of funny saying that because they went to the conference finals and went toe-to-toe with LeBron in Jason Tatum's rookie year. But, like, they had other iterations of the Celtics that it just didn't work. Like, you had the Gordon Hayward Celtics, the Kyrie Celtics. Like, there were different iterations, and it was that one that made it through. I think the Kyrie Celtics is another perfect example. Remember, there was a covered like slam. It was like Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, all of them on the thing. It's just like that flamed out miserably.
Yeah,
another
true.
Example.
That's
I know,
true.
Granted, that was many years ago, and like I think a lot of them matured. Another coach was Brad Stevens at the time. Now it's obviously Joe Mazzulla, but like. It's there's so many options like examples around the league where it just didn't work out. Where it's like, you know what, I'm just going to take it, be happy, go out on top with going back home.
All right, 617-779-7937. We'll continue the Celtics conversation on the other side of this break. And when we return, what should we know about the baby C's, the Summer League Celtics, the guys that have stood out, maybe the guys that have been disappointing? And are any of them going to factor into a team that's going through a bit of a transition here but could use a little boost from their youth? We continue the Celtics conversation next here on WWE.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Back here on WEEI, discussing the Boston Celtics ahead of what's going to be a fascinating season,
to say the least.
If you were to put them in a just in a range in the Eastern Conference standings, because once again, the East doesn't look, you know, insurmountable, so to speak. Obviously, you have your great teams at the top. Cleveland's always going to be a factor. The Knicks seem like it's a matter of time.
They're another team, though. Second apron. It's coming for them.
Yeah.
They're already in it. Cleveland's
right.
Already in the second apron. So that's another team. It's like it's just going to happen all over.
Yeah. So they're a team. It's coming for Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I don't think it's this year. But
it's a year after.
It is after.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I mean, and they're signing max contracts left, right, and center.
The Celtics did.
Right. That's just... That is the life that you have to... I was reading something interesting about it. They talked about it in the Boston Globe earlier today. Just the elimination of the middle class in the NBA. How you have your supermax contracts, your super-duper superstars, and then you have your young guys who are on rookie deals or that kind of first extension that you get. But there really isn't much of a market for your... you know, late 20s, early 30s, still in your prime, role player, bench player, where 5-10 years ago, those guys were getting the kind of, your sixth and seventh man were getting contracts that NHL players would blush at. But right, that's just the, that isn't the way of the current day Adam Silver NBA. And that's just kind of the world that we all live in as basketball
that's
fans.
That's what they wanted. They wanted parity, and they're getting it. And it's kind of, this is the first time we're seeing it. And locally, we're seeing it firsthand. Like, the Celtics are the first team to be absolutely ravaged through because of the second apron. And it also coincides with an ownership change, which is a tough look, obviously, for Bill Chisholm. But I think a lot of people understand that it wasn't an ownership thing. Like, this was going to happen regardless. And this isn't Bill Chisholm coming in and saying, let's shed salary. It's like, no, you actually had to do this. And Brad Stevens has been very clear about that. Wick Rosbeck foreshadowed this months ago. It was in March on these airways with the Greg Hill Show, said, you just can't live in the second apron. You cannot do it. And again, maybe had they won a championship, it would have been a little bit different, because you're a new ownership group. You're not going to come in after a two-peat and be like, all right, nope, these guys got to go. We got to go to the
right,
second apron.
Right.
But when you lose in the second round, and I think there is some sort of revisionist history here. I think some people look back and it's like, well, if Tatum didn't get hurt, they're going to win that. No, they were not winning that game.
They were losing. And the conversation, by the way, was going to be a lot different if they lost it with Tatum than without.
Correct. In a way, that kind of softened the blow.
It really did.
In a very morbid way.
Yeah.
But it did. Like, it kind of allowed these guys to kind of sneak out a little bit, because they were going to lose that series regardless.
Right.
And it was their own fault. They blew two 20-point leads at home in back-to-back games.
Right, right. And it still had a chance on the last possession in both games,
mind you. And I'm all for, really, I mean this sincerely, I'm all for expanding the coverage of the game. Like, let's get more into, like, football and, like, the X's and O's. Like, let's do that with basketball. It was quite literally as simple as they were not missing open shots. You have all NBA, all stars, like, guys that are so accomplished in this league and terrific shooters, just missing point blank, wide open shots. It was really that simple. And again, like, I wish there was more to it. I wish there was more to break down. But it's like, all right, you have Jaylen Brown wide open in the corner. You have Al Horford, Derek White, all these great shooters. I mean, everyone on that roster shot league average or better from three.
Right.
They missed 75 in the first two games. 75 shots.
Wasn't it an NBA record in game one for the most attempts and the most misses?
It was also an NBA record for the most missed three-point attempts over a two-game playoff stretch.
Oh, my goodness.
75!
Yeah.
A team that set an NBA record, and again, like, people complain about the three-point shooting, they still made the most of any team in NBA history. Like,
right.
They did it well. Like, that's the thing. It's like, they weren't, like, sometimes they had poor shooting nights, and that's going to happen with the volume. Like, reality is, when you're shooting 50 threes a game, like, you're going to have nights where you shoot closer to 20% or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, like, they missed 75 in the first two games of a playoff series.
Almost, it's inconceivable.
It's just, like, they did it to themselves. And, like, that's the reality. Like, they couldn't make open shots. They couldn't get stops when they needed it. And they blew leads. I mean, that's the reality. And Brad Stevens, again, I give him a lot of credit. He's been very transparent this offseason, from the second apron stuff to just everything that's evolving the team.
And it's kind of nice, isn't it, by the way?
It's great.
Coming from a baseball world where I feel like I've been lied to for 5 years in a row, it's nice to hear a guy who's actually honest about his team shortcomings.
And he came out right after it happened, right when they were doing the exit interviews, hours after they had lost in game six in New York. They came back, they did the exit interviews at the RBAC Center. He's like, we blew it. Like, we blew this series. We blew it. We lost these two games. And he's right. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of allowed them to escape a little bit because of the injury. But, like, it was going to happen anyway. And this doesn't happen. Like, this isn't because of the new ownership. This is because of the second apron and the way the league is set up.
Real quick, 60 seconds or thereabouts, what should we know about the summer league as a whole for the Celtics?
Well, let's start with Hugo Gonzalez.
Yeah.
I think most eyes are on him. First-round pick, a guy that no one really knows a lot about, right? Played at Real Madrid. Nobody watches Real Madrid basketball games around here, I'd imagine. So that's why you have us, people like us, to go back and watch games and kind of dive in on him. And I'd say he's been as advertised. I mean, you heard a lot about the motor he plays with, the defense. His cutting, again, that's the thing. Like, he's a cutter. That's how he scores, and that's how he's going to score. I think, don't be deceived in summer league here, where he's been, and this is, I give him a lot of credit, he's been very comfortable in taking these transition threes. And, you know, the splits weren't great with Real Madrid, but he's also, you know, we've seen the Celtics fix people's shots. Derek White's a perfect example. He was not a shooter when he came here, and they've really made him into a respectable, great three-point shooter, one of the better in the league last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have confidence in what they can do for a shot, but I think he's going to score more on his cutting, and I think his first basket of summer league in the first 20 seconds of the game really set a tone for him. Like, that's how he plays. He had an offensive rebound putback right away. Like, that's how he is. He's gritty. He plays hard, and it's everything that you heard and everything that fans like about a player. A guy that's willing to put their body on the line. A guy that's going to crash the boards hard. A guy that's going to pick up full length of the court and just harass you defensively. That's what he's been. And I've been really encouraged. And you could tell. He's only 19 years old. The guy was in Europe like 3 weeks ago, got drafted right after he won a championship, came back. And it's like his head's spinning a little bit. And you can tell at times his head's spinning that he's a kid. He's 19 years old, going through these major life changes now with the Boston Celtics. Like, can you imagine what he's going through? But all in all, I mean, he's been as advertised, and it's been fun to watch.
See, and I really liked this take from, I saw it on Twitter from Glenn Ordway. When you're picking at that spot in the draft, you're not going to get a slam dunk, so to speak. You're not going to get a guy who you know is money in the bank. He's a starter
not
in a couple
all.
Years. You're going to take a project no matter what. So if you're going to take a guy who is a project no matter what, take a guy that has the intangibles, who's going to work hard, who you know has a certain skill set that you can mold. If you need to kind of fine tune the shooting and fine tune the things that Celtics players do so well, perfect. You're going to put him in a system where you can do that. And you've seen it work for other guys in the past. But take a guy with the intangibles that you know is going to work hard, has the right mindset, and they certainly do seem to have that. All right, 617-779-7937. See your calls lining up. We'll get to those on the other side. We'll also get to the New England Patriots. Rookies are at camp for the Patriots. The rest of the team will report this week as training camp gets underway on Wednesday. And the expectations for Drake May, how do you quantify a guy going into his second year with a new offensive coordinator and some new weapons around him? Well, DraftKings did their best. We'll talk about the props for Drake May next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani,
inevitable. Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.